Here's what happened this morning with Stacy and Clayton.
I'm really glad to see that everyone made it through yesterday's situation. For a while, it looked like we weren't going to make it.
Yeah.
But we did. We bonded together and we got through it yesterday. Of course, I'm talking about Facebook and Instagram both being down.
At the same time.
For 14 hours. Okay, I'll stop doing
on
that.
On a Wednesday. Okay, yeah.
It was tough times for some people.
Wow.
And that's not like a joke or sarcasm or anything. People actually struggled with Instagram and Facebook being down for like an entire afternoon.
And it is, we make light of that. It's like, seriously, really? It's social media.
Yeah.
But there are people whose actual livelihoods are based on social media.
Mm-hmm.
So for some of the influencers, the way, if you don't know what an influencer is, it's a person who basically gets paid to talk about and promote products for other companies. So
must be nice.
If that's your gig, having Facebook down for the entire day would be huge. That'd be like our microphones not working and us not being able to talk.
It's like their equivalent of a snow day, hey? Oh,
yeah.
Instagram is down. Well, I have the day off. Woo! Basically, every day is a day off for an Instagram influencer, though. Let's be real here. The one thing I liked about it is because both those social media avenues were not working, everyone went to Twitter. And I am all about the Twitter.
You love the Twitter.
I love the Twitter. At Radio Clayton, if you want to give me a follow. I tweet about sports and, well, sports, basically, and funny Saskatoon things like West Side Dougie and Sailor Dan. But I'm a big fan of Twitter because whenever they make changes to Twitter, you know how sometimes Facebook and Instagram, they'll change things up?
Yep.
And people won't like it because they're not used to it. Twitter will give you the option to go back to an older version of Twitter.
Oh.
Which is what I love about Twitter because I hate updating my apps. You technically kind of have Twitter. But you're not a big fan of Twitter, hey?
It's too much to read. There's links and ads and retweets and what have you. I prefer Instagram because it's visual. You look at a picture and you decide if you want to invest a few more minutes by either clicking on a link for a recipe or something. But yeah, you can just scroll right past it. Facebook, same kind of thing. You can just scroll past all the weird comments and, you know, weird people and just take from it what you want.
I just had a flashback to when I was 5. I don't like the words. I like the pictures instead.
Ever wonder what happens when the microphones are off? Well, it's Behind the Scenes with Stacy and Clayton.
Did you have crackers for supper last night?
I sure did.
That was Behind the Scenes with Stacy and Clayton.
The province of Ontario just announced something kind of crazy. They are imposing a cell phone ban on cell phones in school.
A cell phone ban on cell phones?
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Sorry.
I think that kind of spoke for itself.
They're banning
okay.
cell phones in schools, and they're not going to be allowed in the classrooms during instruction. And in case you were wondering, Saskatchewan, no intention of banning cell phones in the classrooms. So for everybody who's in a classroom in Saskatchewan, you can breathe a sigh of relief. You can keep your phones with you. Ontario, they just had enough. They were like, no, you know what? No more.
And buckle up, because Stacy and I are about to have a heated argument here. Because before the show, we were talking about this, and I'm like, you know what? Phones should be allowed in class. But they should be allowed on the top of your desk. A buddy of mine is a teacher, and that's his strategy with students. He lets his students have their phones in class, but they have to put them face down on their desk so he can see them, so they're not secretly texting on their lap underneath the desk or anything like that. And if they have to add something to the calendar, like, oh, test on Friday, they can just pick up their phone, add it in there, boom. If they need to do a quick Google on something, say it's history class or something like that, and the teacher is busy with another student, they can quickly Google it, boom, done. And he said it has helped his class immensely. He said that instead of being all secretive with it and wasting time, he said that they are way more productive because they don't have to hide texting anymore. They can just kind of do it in class. And he says that most of them don't even do it in class anymore because you can see if their phone's not on the top of their desk, they're up to something.
Disagree.
Okay.
Disagree. I'm going to take the old crotchety side of things and say that they should be banned. I 100% support a cell phone ban in classrooms.
Okay.
100%. We, as a society, went through school for years and years and years and years without them and managed just fine learning, getting an education. In my opinion, there's nothing that needs to be done on a phone during class that cannot wait until class is over. Parents sometimes are like, oh, but I need to get in touch with my child at any given time. That's what the front desk is for at the school.
Mm-hmm.
You phone and ask to speak to your kid. They get a message to them and problem solved. You need a calculator? Bring a calculator to class. They sell them.
Times change.
But in my opinion, education, focused education, is far more important than adding a test to your calendar or double checking something on Google. Because as much as I think, you know, I agree with like, oh, having the phone on top of the desk, it eliminates the sneaky aspect of things. Mm-hmm. But you're telling me that a phone down on the desk with a student and it goes bzz, bzz, they're not going to grab it and be like, oh, so-and-so just texted me. I'm quickly going to text them
back. Well, because if they do that, the teacher is going to be like, no, no answering texts. You're just going to do it like for helpful reasons.
Using my calculator. I was just checking something on Google. I don't trust the kids to truthfully use the phones at that kind of discretion.
I remember back in the day, people were like, calculators in the classroom. Well, that's
I know,
that's going to be a distraction because kids are just going to type boobies all the time on them and laugh.
Clayton's okay with phones in the classroom as long as they're being used properly / usefully.
For the right reasons.
For the right reasons. Mm-hmm. Which I say is a slippery slope. I agree with you to an extent, but I just don't think students can be trusted to use them fully, properly, only for what they need. I think that lure of texting / social media is just too strong. And they might get used inappropriately. I have to say, too, like being a teacher at the front of the room trying to teach your kids about physics or what have you, and looking out and seeing kids just not looking at you but looking at their phone, clearly not paying attention to you, doing something else would be so frustrating
for
me.
See, I'm not for that. When a teacher is at the front of the classroom teaching, no phones allowed. That's when you take the phone away. Hey, stop playing Candy Crush or doing what you're doing. Pay attention to the teacher. I'm talking like during work time. When the teacher is done his or her lecture and it's like, okay, quiet work time, work on this essay or this quiz or whatever. I think having your phone isn't a bad thing for useful things, like putting reminders in your calendar. Maybe you forgot your calculator. You can use it then. Maybe a teacher is super busy with another group of students, you have a question, you can just ask Google. I mean, I know it's tough to rely on Google for absolutely everything, but once in a while, it's not that bad. It's not like I'm saying, oh yeah, kids should be allowed to text, play games in class, take selfies, Snapchat. No, I'm saying during private work time, a phone's a tool, and phones are here to stay. It's not like they're going anywhere, so why shouldn't we embrace it?
Education is here to stay.
Yeah.
Education is more important than phones.
A phone can help with education, Stacey.
So can teachers.
My buddy is a teacher, and he has a policy of, hey, no cell phones in your pockets. If you have a cell phone, put it face down on the desk. And he said that it has helped out his class immensely. I'm going by my buddy.
Yeah, and that's like research from the field. I get that.
My buddy's a teacher. He is in the classroom every single day. He knows how to teach students more than me, so I'm going by his logic. If he says this works, it probably works. I'm a high school football coach, and when you tell kids, you can't do this, you can't do that, they always do the exact opposite.
Mm-hmm.
If you trust kids, and you're like, hey, only use your phone for educational purposes, and you're trusting them, a lot of kids will give you that trust back, and they'll be like, okay, I know a lot of people think kids these days, oh, the worst generation, this and that, oh, they're always on their phones. If you give them that trust, and you're like, hey, listen, you can use your phones, but only for the right reasons, they will show you that trust back. Kids are great.
There is a, we've been having some comments on, by text this morning. A lot of people saying they think that a classroom should implement the Dropbox at the front where you walk in, throw your phone, leave it in the box for the class, pick it up on your way out.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a nice, easy solution. It's one of those debates, I think, that could go on for hours and hours.
And there's no right or wrong.
There's
it's
a bit of plus to each side of things, but I'm sticking with my old crotchety no.
And that's fine. I totally agree where you're coming from. Like, hey, yeah, phones are a distraction. I get that. Everyone is different. Everyone has different opinions. And that's totally okay. I think that's the real lesson here.
I think we need to write that down. You just said everyone has different opinions, and that's totally okay.
It's totally okay.
I'm going to remember that next time we have a disagreement about anything. How much pressure do you put on yourself as a family to provide home-cooked meals? because apparently now they're saying, you know what, you should relax a little. Don't stress yourself out by trying to make sure you have cooked for your family every single day. It is okay to throw a frozen pizza in the oven to feed your family.
It's okay to throw a frozen pizza in the oven twice in one day. Maybe you had one for lunch and you're like, I want to relive those tasty memories. I'm going to throw one in for supper. Am I the only person who's had two frozen pizzas in one day?
Possibly.
Yeah? Anyone? No? I'm the only loser here? Awesome. Cool. Back in my day, my family would try to have as many home-cooked suppers as possible. But that usually meant like one or two a week because we were so busy. Soccer practice, hockey games, football games, baseball tournaments. I mean, we were all over the place. But when we did have a night off where we could sit together, oh, yeah, home-cooked meal for the win.
Yeah.
But I don't think a home-cooked meal needs to be like pork chops with scalloped potatoes and
mushroom
a homemade
gravy.
Salad. You know, a home-cooked meal could just be a chicken breast, maybe some sidekicks, asparagus, boom, done. You know? Mm. That's not that hard. But because of all the information we have now, thank you, Internet, with all the easy, cheap, healthy meals and fast food is so unhealthy and processed foods are so unhealthy, you kind of feel pressure to make home-cooked meals all the time.
Mm-hmm. And then that's what stresses a busy family out even more. If mom and dad are both working and there's that pressure to be cooking meals, it gets even more stressful. Our family, we did a lot of home-cooked meals. We did get to go out for supper every once in a while, which was always a treat. But as we got older, we started doing something that was very helpful and I think eliminated the stress, and it was called a free-for-all. And that's what we do. It's just, it's a free-for-all. You do whatever you want for supper. If you want a peanut butter sandwich, have a peanut butter sandwich.
I like that.
If you want Kraft dinner, make yourself Kraft dinner.
I like that.
And then it was mom and dad's, you know, responsibility or pressure of making something for supper was eased up because we were getting to the age where we could provide for ourselves.
Yeah. What about to alleviate the stress of mom and dad? What about if the kids had like one day a week where they made supper for everyone? My best friend had that rule in his household, and the only thing is, he's the youngest. So he was making meals by, like, age 10, age 11. I mean, he was making, like, spaghetti and grilled cheese, but it still counts, right?
Yeah.
At what age should the kids maybe start helping out in the kitchen?
I was that kid. I was a latchkey kid, so my parents worked. I came home, and I would do hamburger helper and a salad. So I was, you know, chopping veggies, frying up the ground beef when I was probably, like, 11 or 12. And I think it's good to get your kids to do that kind of stuff because once they're older, learning how to actually like cook for themselves, it's a good thing.
I love that trick of having a salad with hamburger helper. It's like, oh, I'm having this giant plate of unhealthiness, but don't worry, guys.
Vegetables.
I got a salad. It's totally fine. They cancel each other out. I'm all about Tom DeLonge. He's a weird guy. He's a funny guy. And he's all about aliens. He's actually getting his own TV series coming up in a bit that's going to expose new evidence about UFOs. Apparently, Tom DeLonge, he's got some evidence that aliens actually exist.
And he's super passionate about this. And obviously, there are other super passionate people who believe in UFOs and want to get the truth exposed, but it's always kind of interesting when it's somebody well-known.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a guy from a band who just so happens to be obsessed with UFOs.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it all goes down to, like, the cover-up of a Pentagon's top-secret enigmatic UFO program that was formed back in 2007. There's hidden research that apparently the organization has never exposed, and so it sounds intriguing, but anytime I've ever seen, you know, specials on life out there, UFOs, aliens, that sort of thing, they never really seem to have legitimate proof. It's like the Bigfoot stuff. Oh, we've got grainy footage. Yeah, you can't see anything.
Yeah.
That's not really proof. Oh, there's a footprint. Really? Is it? Did you make the footprint?
Yeah.
I want to see some concrete actual footage proof, that sort of thing. And then I'll be a bit more of a believer. I'm already kind of on the fence. I feel like, you know, the universe is so gigantic, we can't be the only ones out there.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I need concrete proof to actually get on board.
Tom DeLonge thinks he has concrete proof. And again, everyone's on board because it's Tom DeLonge. If it was just Dave from Kindersley saying this, it's like, okay, Dave, whatever, man. Take off your tinfoil hat, bud. But since it's a famous person, people are like, maybe aliens do exist. I mean, Blink 182 has a song called Aliens Exist. Tom DeLonge has been talking about this for a long, long time.
A DeLonge time.
DeLonge time. You beat me to it.
Zing,
no!
Zing, zing.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.